Today, studying the doctrine of Christ, we just pray that you make this time fruitful, we ask. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, amen. 133. Hark the herald angels sing. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Peace on. I got a frog in my throat. But that was good. All right, so doctrine for everybody. Let's see, we're here. So we're looking at the doctrine of Christ. And like I said before, so last time I said I was going to change things around, some of the order of some of the messages, so that way when we get to Christmas, we're looking more at the incarnation. But we are looking at the doctrine of Christ, at who he is. So you'll see here the schedule. Today we're doing what was originally the last thing, what the church believed, what the church came to believe about Jesus. And it's really against all the early errors about Christ. That's what we're doing today. So we're going to look at some mistakes. Sometimes it's good to look at the mistakes so that you know what to avoid. It's like when you're walking down a hill, sometimes it's good to see where all the cracks and potholes are so that next time when you go running down the hill, you don't trip into those holes. So that's what we're going to be doing today, what the church believed. And then we're going to look in November 4th what it means that Jesus emptied himself. We're going to look at that. Then we're going to look at something's happening weird with the font there. But December 2, that's God and man, so that's the incarnation. And January 6th, sinless living of Jesus, how Jesus lived a life in the Spirit. So that's what we're going to look at. But today we're looking at what the church believed. Just a little bit review. Last time, we talked about Jesus being the only person who was alive before he was born. So if you go way back into the beginning, so we don't know anybody like that in our day-to-day. Braden, you were born, but he wasn't alive before he was born. And what we found out with Jesus, that Jesus was alive way before he was ever born, which is very confusing. And we had this verse where he says in John 8:58, where he says, before Abraham was. So Jesus is here, he's something like 30 years old, and he's talking to some Jews, and he says, you know what? Before Abraham was. Now, Abraham was maybe some thousands of years before Jesus. And he says, before he was, I am. And the Jews knew what he was talking about. They picked up stones to stone him. But basically, he was saying, just like God says to Moses, I am who I am that one. Oh, that's some big stuff for him to be saying. But he was saying, I was alive before I was born. But like I said, today, we're looking at the errors. So if you want to hear what we had done last time, we really went and reviewed everything from the previous section. And then we looked a little bit of that, of Jesus being alive before he was born. But today, we're going to look at some mistakes, some big mistakes. The first one is called Sabellianism or modalism. I talked about this one. You remember when I took an ice cube, and I took the ice cube and I melted it, and the ice cube became water, and I told you if you cover it with a cup, there's a gas in there. What this error was saying, this guy Sabellius, he was saying, yeah, Jesus is God. Jesus is God, 100%. And he believed this in the years 200-something. He says, yes, Jesus is God, completely. Jesus is God the Father. And then God the Father became God the Son. And that's what he put on. It's like he put on a different face. And then when Jesus died and he resurrected, God put on a new face. He's the Holy Spirit. So he said, yes, Deuteronomy 6:4. So remember this verse? Deuteronomy 6:4. Can anybody look up Deuteronomy 6:4? Braden, you want to look that up? You got your Bible? And can somebody else look up Isaiah 9:6? Sure, Zola. Isaiah 9:6. Are you looking it up, Braden? Deuteronomy 6:4? No Bible? It's in the car. Bad place for your Bible when you're studying doctrine. Bad place for your Bible. Anybody else want to do Deuteronomy 6:4? You want to do it? Go ahead, Zachary. But Braden, put down the drawing pad then. No Bible, no notes. Deuteronomy 6:4. Because Sibelius was sitting here looking at his Bible. He read his Bible. And then he made a mistake. Go ahead, Zach.
Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Lord, the Lord our God is one God. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might.
Very good. And Zola, could you read the next one, Isaiah 9:6?
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
So you hear those are good verses. They are true verses. And what this guy Sibelius did, he says, he reads his Bible and he goes, look, the Bible says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. So he got that right. And remember, we believe that it's one God. We are monotheists. We believe in one God. We're not tritheists. We don't believe in three gods. And then he read other verses like this one, Isaiah 9:6. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. And then it says, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So then he scratches his beard and he goes, that means Jesus must be the Father before he was the Son. So he put on a different face. So he's the Father sometimes, the Son sometimes, and then the Spirit other times. Sibelius was wrong. This is one of those potholes. He was wrong. In fact, in the Council of Alexandria in 231 AD, everybody listened to him and they listened to this argument and they were like, Sibelius, you're not reading your Bible, bro. Because Matthew 3:16. And what happens in Matthew 3:16? Jesus gets baptized. And in Matthew 3:16, after Jesus been baptized, Jesus comes up immediately from the water. And the heavens were open. He saw the Spirit of God coming down upon him. And then you heard a voice saying, behold my beloved Son, hear him. So the Father spoke, the Spirit was there, and Jesus was being baptized. And what these guys saw when they saw that, they like the council in Alexandria, they're like, Sibelius, you're only looking at a few verses. When you see this verse, you see that it can't be the same person. It had to be three persons. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. They're different persons, but it's one God. So Sibelius, you're wrong, man. Absolutely wrong. That was the first mistake. We covered this mistake. We talked about this mistake when we talked about ice melting and being ice and being water sometimes or being gas. We also talked about it by putting on hats, remember? Sometimes if I put on one hat, I'm Braden and Elena's father. If I put on another hat, it says Loctite on it, I work at Loctite. And if I put on another hat, I'm here in the church. Three different jobs. One person. Wrong. That's not God. God is three persons in one God. All right. Next mistake. Arianism. This one was a big one. This one lasted for a bunch of years. Today we have Arians, but they don't call themselves Arians. They call themselves Jehovah Witnesses. What Arians believe is that they said, no, Jesus is God. He's a God. He's just a created God. He's like he's higher than all the angels and all the creation. He's the firstborn of all creation. He's the strongest, most powerful. He's a God, but he's not God. Come on. Well, Arius. Woo. This error went all over the place because Arius was a super nice guy. And he would make up songs about his heresy that sailors could memorize. And his error spread all over the place. People would be singing their songs of the errors of Arius. And then this became a big discussion in one of the in the councils. That now this is a big ugly Greek word, homoousios. And what it means is same substance. And that's confusing. But what people were saying, the Christians were looking and saying, Arius, you're wrong. Especially this one guy called Athanasius. This guy was awesome. He would argue against Arius, even though the whole church started believing it, like parts of the church were believing it, and he went out into exile, he was still fighting and saying, you're wrong, you're wrong, or you're wrong. Jesus is homoousios with God. What does that mean? He's saying, Jesus Christ is the same stuff as God the Father. So whatever God is, Jesus is. So you can't say that he's a separate God, and you can't say he was created. He's the same stuff. Well, Arius, he said, nah, dude, you're wrong. Athanasius, you're wrong. And he added one little I. Jesus is homoousios. And that little I made all the difference. It doesn't mean the same stuff. It means similar stuff. Jesus is a God like the Father. He's a God. He's a similar material, but he's not God, God. And that's where sometimes where we think and we say, you see one iota, one little letter I, iota is what that is in Greek, makes all the difference. That this little I changed everything. And people were fighting over this I. It's not homoi. He's not similar. He's homo-u. He's the same stuff. Well, this is also a legend, what I'm about to say right now. This one's, we don't think this is true. But also in this council, this was the Council of Nicaea. You guys know Santa Claus? Santa Claus? Ooh, Santa Claus. Well, the legend goes that Santa Claus was at the Council of Nicaea. Now, he's not the cheerful guy who creepily sneaks down your chimney to put toys in your underneath the Christmas tree, but he was a bishop. He's a Saint Nicholas. So he was at this council, and Arius, the legend goes, was talking on and on and on about this heresy. And Saint Nicholas was so upset about what he was saying, that he walked across, he got up, and he walked across to Arius, and the legend says that he slapped Arius in the face. In other legends, it says he punched him in the face because what he was saying was so offensive. This is a legend. We don't think it's true because we don't even think he was in the area, but Santa Claus is based on this Saint Nicholas. That's the guy, Saint Nicholas. And that's years later they started giving the legend, making the situation be that it was Saint Nicholas. But that's how serious it was, that people were listening to this and they're sitting there going, this guy is wrong. Even though the heresy was spreading with people who don't know better, the people who were thinking about God a lot, they sat there going, this is wrong. And Athanasius wrote a book saying against heresies and against the Arians. Well, like I said, this was in the Council of Nicaea. But look at these two verses here. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what Arius would do? He looks at the verse and he says, doing a word study, you say, it says only begotten. Only begotten means that he was the only one born from the Father. And then he'll look at 1 John 4:9. By this God's love is manifested to us that God sent his only begotten son for us. And Arius goes, you see, the Bible teaches that Jesus was only begotten. Therefore, he's created. Well, John 1:1. He ignored this verse. Can someone read John 1:1? Zachary and Zola, you both read a verse. Let's do Elena. Let's get Elena to read John 1:1. I'll let you read next time. Don't worry. Don't stress. John 1:1.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was
You hear that verse? Nothing about begotten there. He was with God and was God. Arius, you're wrong. So in 325 AD, in that Council of Nicaea, they said, Arius, you're out of your mind. You're wrong. Now, this tells us that the early church, up to 325 AD, that's a lot of years, they always believed Jesus was God. They always believed that Jesus was God, but it's only in this years that they started bringing up new stuff, that maybe Jesus is like a sub-God. Now, I say that because when you hear movies today, people will start saying, oh, you know what? The church never really believed Jesus was God. There was arguments that happened in 325 AD where they started saying Jesus was God, and that's what we have Christianity today. That's wrong. The church always believed it. They just didn't fully understand and come to terms with how he's one God with the Father and the Son and the Spirit, and yet there's differences. They didn't fully get that. And that's still hard to understand 2,000 years later. We don't fully understand it, but we believe it. Here's the next error. So this is a big pothole. So when Jehovah Witnesses knock on your door, you can say, I'm not listening to the error of Arius. Now, they won't know who you're talking about, but that's what they believe. Yeah.
Their Bible actually says in John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was a God.
That's right.
And it's little g.
Yep, they change it.
Just at my door last week, or the week before.
Right, they change it because they know. It's a verse that proves it. But the thing is, what's wild is that, so this is one verse. What the did in the council, they looked at a lot of verses. They looked at John chapter 5. They looked at Colossians chapter 1 and 2. They looked at Philippians chapter 2. Tons of verses that talk about Jesus being God. They even looked in the book of Acts. So you have all these verses, and the Arians are sitting there going, And if you, in fact, you can even look at the Jehovah Witness Bible, and they don't catch it all. They don't catch it all. They usually ignore John chapter 5 because there's so much in there. So that's pretty wild. So that was that error. Those Arians. That's a big pothole. Here's another one. That one, this picture looks weird. This is Apollinarianism. What you see in that picture is a person, right? And their skin is opening up. And you see their ghost inside. That's what this picture is showing. And it's saying what Apollinarius believed. Yeah?
Is that like real?
No. This is all Photoshop. This is all Photoshop. So they believe Apollinarius, this guy, he sat there. He goes, yes. Okay, yes, I agree. Jesus is fully God. I get that. The Son is fully God. He is homoousios. He is the same stuff. I believe that. He's not created. But then he said, but how did he become a man? So he goes, you know what? What I think happened is that you have this stuff that's the Jesus body. So Jesus' body, it's like this shell. It's this man stuff. It's this stuff. And it has emotions. It has a soul. So it has a body and it has a soul. And then he says, and the last part that made this thing alive was the Jesus Spirit. The Spirit of Christ. He entered into this body and soul thing and made it alive. So then what he was saying is, this is it right here. Here's a picture. Here's Jesus' human nature. That you don't, it's just the human stuff. It's the body and the soul. He made up these categories. And it's the body, this stuff, the soul, the emotions. And then Jesus, the Christ, the divine nature entered in and sort of put its ghostly arms inside of this shell and made it alive. So Jesus is body, soul, and spirit. Human body, human soul, God Spirit. So that was where this thing came from. And then the church, and this is where he would use these verses. Who wants to read Philippians 2:8? Look at this verse here. Braden, do you have a Bible now? Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, you're going to have a hard time if you're looking at the index. Philippians chapter 2. Let's hop over to Zola. You'll look for Hebrews 2, chapter 7, verse 17. Braden, you look for Hebrews 2. Zola, you can read Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 8.
Oh, I already found Hebrews.
Okay, well, he's getting Hebrews. Who wants to do Philippians 2, verse 8? You want to do it, Sammy? Go ahead. You're not going to the index, right? And it's not a sword drill. We got to start off with sword drills, seriously, because I think this one's still looking for Hebrews. Thank you. Excellent. So you hear that? He was found in appearance as a man. So Apollinarius looks at this and he says, you see, he is fully God, but his shell was a man. So he was fully God, but not really fully man. That's what Apollinarius was believing. And then Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Braden, can you read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17?
Therefore, in all things he has to be made like his brother, that he might be merciful, faithful, high priest in things pertaining to God's big reputation for the sins of the people.
Now you hear that? He had to be made like his brothers. In all things, he had to be like his brethren. That means that when Jesus came, and this is what the council said, in Constantinople, which was once Istanbul, but now it's Constantinople in 381 AD, they said, no, Apollinarius, you're wrong. What you're believing makes Jesus be not fully human. Yeah, he's fully God, but if he's not fully human, then he's not like his brethren in all things. That means God did something with a piece of meat, but he didn't really die for, he didn't pay for our sins as a son of man. That's not good. That means that we would still be in our sins because he just threw over a piece of meat with a soul, some emotions, but he didn't really have anything to do with it. So this was decided. Everybody heard this and they were like, yep, this is wrong. Absolutely wrong. Zola, you had a question? Okay. So this was absolutely wrong. Apollinarius was wrong, and the council in Constantinople said, nope, not that. Jesus had to be fully God, yes, and fully human. By the way, this thinking does come up a lot today. Think about it. You've heard it, and I'll say it. But you've heard that, like, humans are body, soul, and spirit, right? Body, soul, and spirit. That's, you hear it all the time. I disagree. I don't think humans are body, soul, and spirit. I think humans are just body and body and immaterial. Fine. But what you wind up getting is that people start getting into these weird contortions. And you'll hear this error come up because they'll say, they agree, Jesus is fully God. True. Jesus is fully man. So that means that Jesus had to have a body, soul, and spirit. And what do you often hear? Ah, since the spirit is the part that communes with God, Jesus had a body and a soul, but his spirit was the Christ. And you hear that coming today. That's a heresy. Because Jesus had to be fully human as well as fully God. Why the big deal? These guys thought about this stuff, and we're going into this because you see all these errors in the past, and these really smart people, really godly, memorizing the scripture and studying this, they saw the potholes, they pointed it out, and we should know about those potholes today. Here is the next error. Nestorianism. Now, this one's a little hard to understand. A little hard. because it's two reasons why this one's a little hard to understand and it's also a little weird. The first reason that it's a little hard to understand and a little weird is because this error, Nestorianism, agrees that Jesus is fully God and fully man. 100% agrees with that. So that's one thing. So you hear that and you go, what? He agrees with that? What's the problem? The second weird thing about it, this is the weird thing, this guy Nestorius didn't believe this. He didn't believe this. In fact, poor Nestorius, this is sad, and it's a lesson for us too. Nestorius was a guy who was a godly man, and he got into an argument with someone called Cyril. He was a bishop, really smart guy. And Cyril wrote a book. He wrote 5 books against the heresies of Nestorius. And he took the heresies of somebody else, and he applied it to Nestorius. So poor Nestorius started getting blamed for these things that he never believed, but it was something that somebody else believed. So that's the weird thing. But we still call it Nestorius anyway because we have some ideas of other people who believed it. But when we say Nestorianism, we understand. But here's the error, okay? This error is that Jesus is a fully God and fully man. Here's how the error works. There is the God person, Christ. And there is the human person, Jesus. Those two came together as Jesus Christ. So you had two persons going around. So whenever Jesus Christ was, he was two people. So that's the error. So look how it looks like. There's the human person, right? Jesus, the divine person, the Christ, and together, we are Jesus Christ. And that's what this teaching was. So you sit there and you go, I can't figure out how those two get together. I know, it was two persons put together. Well, this mistake sounds a little like Venom. Venom from comic books. Firestorm. Or Firestorm too. Nice. Goodness gracious, why weren't you with me when I was building these PowerPoints? Where it's these two different beings put together, but there's two beings. Yeah, it's all right. It's just Venom. It's just the symbiote. It's the suit that's coming off of him. It's not like he's rotting or anything. So here's the error. So who wants to read Colossians 2:9? Go ahead, Zachary. Colossians 2:9. And then, Zola, then you can read John 14:23. Colossians 2:9. Oh, the fullness of deity dwells in him bodily. So Nestorius, I know I'm going to say Nestorius and blame him for it. Nestorius sitting there like, you see, there's the God person and it's in this Jesus person and they're both together. But what he ignored while he was doing his Bible studies is this part. Go ahead and read it, Zola. John 14:23. So do you hear, you hear that and you go, wait, what's the big deal? The big deal is that Jesus said, he's speaking singular. He didn't say we, he didn't say us. The only time he said we was when he was talking about himself and the Father. So it wasn't that Jesus was these two persons that you could refer to as them. And nobody referred to Jesus as them. And Jesus never spoke about himself as us or we. Never. In fact, Jesus always spoke about himself as me, my. And people talked about him, you, individually, singular. So this is the proofs in the 5 books of Cyril. He wrote a lot of books. Can you believe that? We're spending only a few seconds on this issue. This guy wrote 5 books saying this is why this teaching is wrong. And he says that Jesus is one person. He's one person. It's the divine nature and the human nature together. It's not the human on the outside like Apollinarius and the spirit in the back that it's not fully human. No, he's fully God and fully man. So in the Council of Ephesus in 431 AD, the people sat there and they said, yep, this is an error. Poor Nestorius, he was blamed for this. So here's the next one. This one's hard to pronounce. Monophysitism. Eutychianism. Well, this is hard to pronounce. But what it is this. So I want you guys to pretend for a second. Like, think about it. If you took grape juice and apple juice and poured them in a cup, what would you have? Is it grape juice? Is it apple juice? What is it now?
Apple grape juice.
Apple grape juice. It's what you might even call grapple juice. It's something new, right? It mixes it up. If you take a cup of water and a cup of ink and you pour it in the water, what do you have? Inky water. It mixes it up. It gets absorbed in the thing. So what Eutychus thought, he's like, okay, yeah. Jesus is fully God. I get that. I totally get that. And he says, but he was one person. All right, I get that. So he must be a new thing. He must be a mixture of God and man. So whatever he was as a man went into this divine person and it got swallowed up because God is so divine and so big and so awesome. Whatever man stuff he had that's part of being a man, just sort of like Alka-Seltzer. You ever put Alka-Seltzer in water? You put it in water and it just bubbles and it dissolves into the water and the water tastes different. It tastes fizzy and you can't see the Alka-Seltzer anymore. That's the same way he thought about Jesus. He says, the man stuff got swallowed up in the divine and he became a humanly divine and divinely human. Well, this problem has the same problem that the other guy had a problem with about Apollinarius did, that Jesus is not like his brethren because he was something different. This would be like he's like this completely different alien thing that no one's like him at all. So this error was completely wrong. They looked at it, and in the Council of Chalcedon, finally, or Chalcedon, depending on how you want to pronounce it, in 451 AD, 451, or that's, yeah, 450, maybe I'm wrong, it might be, yep, no, it's 451. In 451 AD, the council, they said, you know what? We need to put down what we believe. And this is based on a lot of scriptures, and what you see, 451 AD, that's like 400 years of arguments, of studying the Bible, of arguing about letters, about arguing with the letter I. Look at this. This is great. I'm going to read this. This is what they said from the Council of Chalcedon. We then, following the Holy Fathers, all with one consent, teach men to confess one and the same Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the same perfect in Godhead and also perfect in manhood, truly God and truly man, of a rational, they use reasonable, but it means rational, that means thinking, soul, and body, consubstantial, that means the same stuff with the Father according to the Godhead, and consubstantial, that means the same stuff with us according to the manhood, in all things like unto us, yet without sin, begotten before all ages to the Father according to the Godhead, and in these latter days, for us and for our salvation, born of the Virgin Mary, the Mother of God. Now, that's a confusing phrase, and we're not touching that. That's for something else. But they meant something specific, different than what the Catholic Church might mean. The Mother of God, according to the manhood, one and the same Christ, Son, Lord, only begotten, to be acknowledged in two natures, inconfusedly, that means not mixing them up, unchangeably, that means that they always stay the same, indivisibly, that means they're always together, inseparably, that means that they're always together forever, you can't separate them again, the two natures of Christ, the distinction of natures being by no means taken away by the union, but rather the property of each nature being preserved and concurring in one person and one subsistence. That means one, harder to explain, not parted or divided into two persons, but one and the same Son and only begotten God, the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the prophets from the beginning have declared concerning him. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself has taught us, and the creed of the Holy Fathers has been handed down to us. That is some good stuff. Now, some of you younger folk might hear that and you go, I don't understand. That's a lot of words. But older people, this is good stuff. These guys wrote this down, and this was after years and years of studying the Bible and proving people wrong and showing where they're wrong. And they came down and they wrote it down and they're saying, this is what we believe about Jesus. Now, you could go back to the Bible, and like we did, I showed the verses that showed where the potholes are and where the potholes get smoothed over. If you only look at a few verses, you can fall into one of these weird mistakes. But if you see the whole teaching of the Bible, you start to get the full picture of who Jesus is. And that's what these guys were doing. It just took them 451 years to finally say, well, 420 years, to finally write it down and say, this is what we believe with big words. This is good stuff. So at this point, are there any questions?
Only a million. Who's the council that you keep talking about?
The council? So the council was, so back in the book of Acts, remember in the book of Acts, there was this issue that happened in Antioch, and the Christians went to Jerusalem. They had, that would be called the first council. So it's a gathering of all the leaders, of the elders that were in those areas, and they would come together, and they gathered with the apostles too, and they would have a meeting. Well, what wound up happening is that years later, after Paul was gone, after the apostles were gone, the church, the early church, would look at it, and whenever they had a problem, they would say, we've got to talk to the other Christians. And they would have a meeting with the elders and teachers of all these other churches. So they would call all these people and they'd say, let's have a meeting. So a council was just a big meeting. And they would call these Christians over from all over the place. You would get Christians from Africa, from Greece, from Italy, from Spain. All these people would gather and they would meet in different places.
They didn't decide what went into the Bible.
No, they did not.
They read the Bible.
That's right.
And they interpreted it.
Exactly.
So they had, at some point, the same Bible that we had.
Oh, yeah.
So why didn't they just go to Galatians?
Oh, they went to Galatians. They went through all these pieces of scripture. Now, there was different types of problems that would come up. And what they noticed is that when somebody brings up a problem, and what we realize is when they brought up a problem that it was new, a seemingly new problem, we have the benefit of having all this church history behind us. And we could look back and we say, yeah, you can answer like this. But back then, they were worried about so many other issues first that they never got to that issue. So, for example, the first 200 years of the church, the issue that they had to deal with was the belief that people were saying that you have two different gods. You have the New Testament God and the Old Testament God. And this fleshly stuff doesn't matter. So that was the first issue they had to deal with. So then after that was all done and they proving the point by going to the Bible and showing, not only from Galatians, but showing the fact that it's one God throughout the whole Bible, then now comes a new problem where somebody goes, wait a second. I get that it's this one God, but how does this one God work? I think it's one God that takes different jobs. And now they're sitting there going, man, we just dealt with this other problem. Now we have to deal with this? So for them, it was all new to be dealing with that. So they're like dealing with it. And plus, this is also big. You're right. They did not decide what books were in the Bible. But These books were everywhere. So think about it. There was two letters that were in Corinth and that people had made copies of from Paul, and they were handing them out. And then you had letters that were in Ephesus, and you had letters that were in Galatia. You had letters that were in Rome, and these people would be gathering these things together. Now, we know that they had a very, there was early manuscripts these guys were putting together. But these guys would have pieces of the Bible, and they didn't have like a printing press like what we have today. So they didn't decide what was in the Bible, but they all had to study the Bible together for the first time through these situations. So it's pretty wild.
So did then other religions come into it because of some of these?
Yes.
Okay, so that's where you have all of the...
Right. Okay. So what you wound up happening in the first 200 years, that problem I was talking about was the Gnostics. You had them start up a Christian church, but the whole church was saying heresy. So they were all, the entire church together was saying, these guys are heretics, they not believe in the living God. Even Arian, he got pretty famous, and people were believing it. And the whole church was saying heresy and pointing out that it was wrong. But these pockets still exist. And even today, there's still places that exist that believe like in monophysitism. And things like that. There's pockets that believe that. But the whole church, this is the one time, these first 450 years, that the entire church agreed on these issues. After this, there was other things. They had an argument over the procession of the Holy Spirit. And after that, the East split from the West. And then after that, with the Reformation, the Protestants split from Rome. And we've never had another council because no one's ever gotten back to agreeing. I don't think we'll have a council until the Lord returns. But back then, it was the entire church. And they had errors and they had problems. We have to listen to like what Martin Luther said. He says, neither creed nor council, but the word of God is what compels me. That's why we always have to keep going back to the word of God. So when we look at these things, we're not looking at them to see, oh, we believe these things because they did. We do exactly like what you said. Go back to Galatians. Go back to the book of John. Go back to these books and see what's true. We always believe, the church with doctrine believes what God has taught the church over 2,000 years because God has spoken in Scripture, not in councils. What's nice about councils is that they summarize a lot of teaching in one paragraph. That's pretty nice. And it's also nice that they went through those fights and it was fought and settled. And when those fights come up today, that we can sit there and go, wait a second. I know this error. This is an old school error. Even though other people might not know it, we could sit there and go, the Holy Spirit in the Church of God has dealt with this in the first 450 years of the church. And we're dealing with this again in 2000 something or other. We can just go back to the old proofs and show the arguments that exist there. But people don't think like this anymore. This was big thinking. Other questions? No, that's a really good question. So they did try to hold it in the same language like Latin, but the problem was that even with homoousios and homoousios, you had half of the church, the eastern part of the church, that was really good with Greek. And the western part of the church was really good with Latin, and they would use Greek words. So at one point in the like 325 to 381, even though they were all speaking Latin, looking at the Greek words from the Bible, when Athanasius was talking about homoousios, the ones in the East were saying, we don't like the word you're using. That doesn't mean that. So there was problems with language, where they were showing like, that's not what it means. But finally, when they got together and Athanasius showed what he meant by homoousios, then the Greek church was like, the Eastern Church, they said, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Arius is a heretic. So it was like once they come together and understand, then they get it and they agree together. But you're right. It would, they try to have it in Latin, but the language was different. Some people were better at it than others, definitely in the Greek side. Other questions?
What did they do for the heretics?
It depends. So some of the heretics, they just kicked them out. Other heretics, like Nestorius, I think he was thrown in prison. Years later, like heretics, back then too, like you would kill heretics too. And this was happening even to the Reformation. Catholics killed them, Protestants killed them, Anabaptists killed heretics. Everybody was killing heretics because their thinking was, this person is speaking a damnable lie from the pits of hell and they're bringing other people to hell with them. It's better to bring the judgment of God on them than to have their poison bring more people to hell. That's pretty wild. When you hear it like that, you're like, oh, wow, if that's their perspective. Today, we don't burn heretics and we don't kill them. And we have to also be very careful about what we label as heresy. Because some things, we just say heresy, but there's been no council. There's been no collective church that has said this is a heresy. But then there's other things that we have to look at, and we're not going to burn you, but we can say, yep, it's a heresy. Like I keep saying, Jehovah's Witnesses, heretics, in the classical sense. So I can sit there when I hear the message, I'm like, yeah, that's pure heresy. It's heresy that can likely send you to hell. Mormonism, pure heresy. A heresy that can likely send you to hell because it's denying something central about God. But then some people might come up with a teaching today. I don't know. Like some folk have some ideas about the Holy Spirit and they have certain ideas. I can say that it's error, but I won't call it outright heresy unless I hear it going down into one of these weird areas. So back then, prison, death, or let them go, but run away far, far away. Because if we see you again, we will string you up.
Another question.
Yeah.
The group that's around today, the racist people that are around that call themselves Aryan Nation, is that related to this Aryan in any way?
No, okay. Not at all. Yeah. Yeah, I think they even spell it differently. It's like A-R-Y, that Aryan Nation. So it's not related to it at all. Their belief is almost has nothing to do with God. They're just the chosen race, the master race.
Which means it has nothing to do with God.
Yeah, pretty much.
A lot of them do acknowledge God. And
yeah.
They think themselves.
A lot of people acknowledge God, but what God?
Right. Because that's right. Because you do hear some of these higher race people think that there's a God who has made them, and everybody else is a subhuman. And that's, I don't know what God that is, but it sounds like a pretty awful God. And they'll cite the same verses too.
Ku Klux Klan.
Ku Klux Klan, right. Yep. Yep. Other questions? Kids, any questions? Can you pronounce monophysitism? Wow.
Okay, try that big one with the I and the I.
the homoousios. Yeah, how about that one?
Wow.
Yes, Sammy. Oh, they list it as another religion? Yeah. Yeah, it would be another religion. I wouldn't call it another denomination. Definitely another belief. At one point, I was going to make a t-shirt. This was like 5 years ago. 7 years ago. It was before things got pretty crazy. And the t-shirt said, homoiophobe. with the I in it.
Oh boy, you would have been in trouble.
And I was really gonna make the T-shirt, and then things started changing, and it got really. And I was talking to friends about still making, and they were like, "Ray, I think this is a really bad idea. You will get beat up, and you're gonna be trying to explain. No, it's the Yoda. It's the Yoda. It's about the similar substance. I'm a foam of that." No, it wouldn't have lasted. Oh, they would have ripped it up indeed. Any other questions? Oh, I looked up Aryan, and Aryan is a term, self-designation by Indo-Iranian culture. That's pretty interesting. So that, and then the Aryan race, known as Indo-European languages, were those of the ancient Indo-Iranians. That's pretty interesting, right? So the Caucasus Mountains and all that stuff. So that's pretty interesting. Yep. All right, so if no further questions, then we'll close in prayer there. Dear Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for allowing the situations that happened in history so that we can learn from those mistakes and the solutions that were offered, and that we can then look forward as we walk in our day-to-day and see the errors that can come up. Now, we do know there's other errors. We know that. But we're grateful that these errors were so exposed with so many Christians on board and together looking at these things and saying they were wrong. Not because of their own power, but because they relied on the Holy Spirit that indwelled them individually and corporately, and they went back to the scriptures. So we thank you for this time where we were able to look through some of these errors. And we pray that you watch over us and protect us as we go home, each our own separate way. We ask in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Everyone, there's donuts and fruit back there. So you should eat it.